This is Kurt.
This is Tracy.
I'm Jason.
And this is the MFG Cast.
I want to go like this.
Why do you want to play with my lips? So I'm trying to
Whoa, that's too sexy for this podcast.
Yes, exactly. We're a PG podcast, not really.
No, we're not.
Not really. There's a lot of F words have been spoken during
fucking
this
podcast.
Hey, there it is. Let's get the first one out of the way. So, besides that loud, obnoxious noise.
That's me.
No, I'm just kidding. We got all kinds of noises. We got the windows open in our porch, so there's going to be lots of noises today, including our lovely faces.
Why are our faces making noises?
I don't. Because that's where words come out of.
Oh, my face definitely makes a lot of noises. You can just tell.
Exactly.
So does his butt.
Oh, there you go.
Alrighty.
Anyway, we're here to talk about board games, not butt noises or mouth noises. That's another podcast in itself. We are here to talk about River Valley Glassworks, a board game by Allplay. It plays 1 to 5 players. It plays 25 minutes, which I feel like that's not even a good... Like, maybe that's, like, if you play it, like,
you'd
super
have to, yeah,
quick.
You'd have to... I don't know. I thought, like, less than that, I thought, didn't you?
Really?
I mean, if you play it 2 players, I could see it going. But if we just... I think if you just buckled down and really played it, I think you could be done in 10 to 15.
We squirrel, so...
That's true.
Yeah.
We do kind of squirrel and talk a lot.
We're talkers.
That's right. Plays 8 and up. Ages 8 and up. It is... Boy, I don't even remember who... It's made by... is it Riddle? Matthew Riddle? Is that his name? Matt Riddle? Am I right with that? It's designed by Adam Hill, Ben Pitchback, and Matt Riddle.
Hey, right. You got 1 out of 3.
I got 1 out of 3. You know what? I'm going to call the art on this, too. The artist is Andrew Bosley. The art is freaking fantastic.
Yeah, art's really cool on this
one.
As a fan
cute.
Of artwork and games.
So
I,
cute.
Yeah, nailed it on this one.
So, since Jason always likes to bring up the rules of the game, like, the rules of the game are freaking phenomenal. I feel like it's, like, a couple pages front and back.
Yeah, very simple.
Really easy to learn.
Yeah.
Really easy to kind of throw out there.
How were the instructions?
They are amazing. Really. It's like
very
really,
pictorial. Is that a word?
Pictorial? Yeah, I think
yeah,
that's right.
For sure.
They
yeah.
are very picture oriented.
Yeah. They actually show the real shapes, the real colors, an actual layout of the board. Did a great job of it, didn't they? Yeah, they nailed it with this.
Yeah. And we got, Tracy was nice enough to get me this game for
I love it when you say I'm
Christmas.
Nice enough to. Sometimes I'm nice enough.
Yeah, sometimes you suck. No.
Wow.
I just say that anyway because I love
it. I know.
Take the compliment,
you.
Tracy.
Yeah, that's
just
right.
Take the compliment.
Okay.
Don't insult him for complimenting.
Okay.
Again.
So we got the deluxified version of it. So it has a rollout mat. It's got...
Which is really nice.
It is very nice. The, what is this, acrylic...
Yep.
River tiles. It's got the glass pieces, which are amazing. It's got little chonky animals.
Yeah, it's really, like, it's you're really playing with little pieces of art for the most part. The hand feels good. The size on everything is nice. It's got some weight to it. So
mm-hmm.
you know, some games you kind of feel like if you touch it, the whole, even if you bump the table, you're just going to move everything. So you got to kind of be on pins and needles, where with this one, the rollout mat, the rubberishness to the mat, and then the acrylic stuff, and then the wood toys with or the pieces, action figures, meeples, whatever. I don't know the words
the
yet. I'm the novice.
The wood
here,
characters?
Yeah.
Yeah, they all have, like, they're all weighted and shaped perfectly, so they're not flying all over the place. You could bang right into the table if you wanted to, I think. I mean, try it. Give it a shot.
I, like, have no regrets.
No regrets.
Upping, no regrets. Upgrading this to the deluxe version when I bought it for
mm-hmm.
you.
What was the price difference? Maybe not necessarily the price, but how much more was it to go? Do you remember?
Like $30.
Well, that's not bad then.
So, well, we could talk about price. So, just because we bought this again as a gift for somebody else, but I think the deluxe version, and I don't know if I paid the same thing, but this was $69.
Yep.
Nice. $69 for the deluxe version. If you buy the base game, I think it was $39, but if you buy all the pieces and parts to upgrade it, they're like $12 here. Oh, so $12 really there, it so it's totally worth it because I think I figured it out, didn't I, Kurt? It was like over $120 if you bought the base game and then decided that you wanted to upgrade or pimp out your game later. Something
having not played the original version and only the deluxe, I think the deluxe is worth it just because of the way everything goes together here. The art on the pieces, the way everything looks, I think this is a cool abstract kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like it.
I like it too. So what are we doing in River Valley Glassworks?
That is a good question, actually. That's my favorite part.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that.
I was explaining this game to another friend that is not a board gamer at all. And she was like, so wait, what was the game that you're playing? I'm like, you collect glass out of a river to make art in your animals. She's like, why are animals collecting glass out of a river to make art? And I'm like, because it's fun.
Because they're cute and they like to party.
Because that's what the game is. I feel like they came up with the concept for the game and then the story came around. And I could be totally wrong. I'm just basing this on absolutely nothing. But I feel like they came up with the idea for the game of having shapes and colors and having to organize them in certain ways to score. And then said, how do we make people like want to do this? What is the story? Why are people doing this? And then came up with this abstract little thing. My friend mentioned that it could have totally taken it a different way and that the animals are mad at people and they're cleaning all of the garbage out of their river. And I was like, actually, that makes sense too. I like it a little bit more fun, but maybe teach the children to keep the glass out of the rivers.
Yes, exactly.
You have a little pans in the deluxe version, at least, where you're putting your glass in it. Yep. So they're panning for glass instead of panning for gold, like in like the Dakotas and stuff. So, you know, they're looking for those rare pieces of glass that maybe they can turn around and sell to other people in their community of animals.
Well, and I mean, alligators, beavers, otters, turtles, frogs, and toads are all known for their artistic abilities. So it does make sense.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, they are like top-notch artists.
That's usually when someone says, you know, if someone were to come to me and just throw those words at me, I would just be like...
Art.
Yep, exactly.
That guy is an artiste.
Exactly.
I know every beaver I've ever seen is very good at making art.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
And it's funny, going back to the whole, like, you know, what are we trying to do with this game, and then what kind of theme you put on it? That's, like, one of the questions I love to ask when I interview somebody that makes a game. I'm like, how did you come up with this concept? Did the mechanics come up first?
Right.
Or did you were like, oh, I need to make a game where a pig is flying in space. Well, how do I do that? Well, let's figure out how to do that.
That would be really interesting to hear what came first, you know, the
chicken or the egg.
Yeah, the beaver or the glass.
That's right. You know? That's right.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's really cool. Because it is a very basic game. You've got shapes of glass and... Different shapes can be any of the colors, and then you're collecting them to put on your board, sorted by color on your board for your scoring. So it's very simple. Like, that's it. That's the game. But then you've got this whole story going on around it with your characters built around. So were they like, oh, we should find something with these animals, and we've got this little village, and they're all artists. How do we make a game? Or was it, hey... we've got these colors, and we've got these shapes, and you have to organize them.
Who
would do that?
Yeah, we don't necessarily care about the that portion about it as much. We just think that the people are going to kind of grasp on cute animals and they'll play the base, the heart of the game.
Yeah.
It all that works. Could be. It all really does work together too, because it is just a basic game. So it's really easy to picture these cartoonish little forest dwelling animals having their own little communities and wanting to collect art, or, you know, glass to make art and whatever. Like, it all works in the game in just a fun, abstract way. And I am never opposed to something just being for fun.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there has to be a deeper meaning. Mm-mm. You know, I like it when there is a full storyline. You know, when we're playing the Marvel games, when you got all of the movies behind them and 20-something different storylines going on, it's cool to be able to see little tidbits of that.
Yeah.
But I'm also cool with the toad wanting to make a glass whatever. Yeah. Like, I think it's fun. Yeah, like, this game's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So going back to the whole, like, how did this game work? We didn't really talk about that.
Do you want me to chime in?
Sure.
Or did you want to?
You know what?
I saw you pick up a part.
Oh, you go for it.
I mean, I already said we collect glass. It's different shapes and colors, and you organize
you
them.
You did. Nailed but it. Let me set the scene a little bit more.
You don't think people understand how to play the game?
No, I don't. I think we need to add a little bit more detail.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So the main board, whether you get the base game or you get the
deluxe
game. I could not think of the word deluxe.
Yeah, no idea.
You lay that out, and then you have those tiles, or the acrylic tiles, depending on what you have. And each tile has shapes on it. So it could have ovals, could have hearts, could have whatnot on each of the corners. The stones on the tiles determine the amount of glass pieces you place in there. You draw them randomly from the bag, and then it's either one or two, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So then, when you're starting the game, each player starts with three pieces of glass, and what you're basically doing is on each of the player mats, you want to collect different colored pieces of glass to cover your board both horizontally and vertically. But you can't exceed, was it 5 spaces or 6 spaces up?
Right. You get 7 spaces for the different colors, and each color then you can have up to 5.
Thank you. So if you exceed, I think there's a total of 8 colors. So you can collect up to 8 colors going horizontally up to
7. There's only 7 spaces, so there's
you can
one
collect,
extra
color. Yeah, you can collect up to 8 colors, but if you collect all 8, then they have to go into your...
The 8th one has to go into
your overfill.
Overflow bin.
Yeah, or overflow, yep.
Where you lose points. If you collect more than 5, did you say?
Yes.
Yep. Going up, then that's going to go in your overflow bin too. But as you're collecting them up, you have to do the same color as you started on the bottom, and as you go over to the right, you have to have each different individual color.
Yep.
So it could be blue, could be green, could be light blue, could be light green, could be red, could be gold,
orange,
so on and so forth. Just examples.
Yes.
And then they're kind of ranked on, like, common colors versus rarities, so it kind of gives you an idea of maybe how many would be in the bag for you to be able to pull as you're playing the game.
Did you say rary?
Rarity.
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 Did it come out weird?
It sounded like rary.
So awesome. Basically, each player is taking one of their pieces of glass from their pan or their hand, and they're going to determine, based on the shape of that piece of glass, where they want to place it in this, like, the stream or the river.
Yep.
And they determine that based on what shapes are on each of those acrylic pieces or those pieces that are laying in the river. So I said there were hearts, there were circles,
it's just different shapes.
Yeah. And then once you place it, then you determine which rocks you want to collect on the sides that are adjacent. So you may only be able to collect on one side because of where that is placed, or you can collect on the right or the left side. And then you're taking those rocks and you're placing them in your player board.
Glass.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You're taking that glass and you're placing them in your player board. So your goal is to collect as much glass as you can, up to 17, but you want to be able to score points. If you go across horizontally, you can score up to 22 points, but you're only... Do you want to explain that a little bit?
As far as scoring your rows?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you're scoring your rows, what happens is it depends upon how the glass goes from left to right in those rows, starting from the bottom and going up, without any gaps. So if at one point you have the first, like, three from left to right have those glass in them, and then there's a fourth that skipped, you're only going to count that last spot that glass goes in.
Which was a little tricky for me to kind of grasp that, the way that it was explained and everything. It took me a second to kind of figure that out. So I think the way for my novice brain to comprehend it was, you've got your eight different slots, or your seven different slots, where you can choose between your eight different colors to do, going from left to right. So then you get scored for how many of those slots you have started, up to a total of seven. Mm-hmm. But then for your scoring going the other way of each row of colors, you more or less just take it and turn it 90 degrees. And then you start at the right side, and every full row, that's how you get your scoring. So if there's a gap from the bottom going up, then that's where the scoring stops. So as long as you turn that thing and you go right to left, full row on the right, possibly full row on the next row to the left, and then get one more over to the left, if there's a gap when you go up, whether there's something sticking out, doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah.
That made it a little easier for me once I did that in my head.
Gotcha.
So then you're scoring that way, and then you're scoring for the highest vertical column, starting from left to right, you'll count the highest two. So that doesn't matter if there's gaps on that. You would just count the highest two. So, but on the left side, you'll want to make note that the points are lower the higher you get. So you do kind of want to strive for getting farther to the right on your board, because you actually will score farther points the higher you go up on the right side of your board.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot. This game is so fast playing. There's not a whole lot of rounds to it. So you can have a strategy, but you got to be willing to just kind of move on from your strategy, mm-hmm. because you don't have the ability to. So early in game, if you can set up your board with the most common colors of glass right away on that left corner, like, that definitely is going to set you up for end game, but you just may not have that option. So you really got to pay attention to what is out in front of you, kind of give it a shot, mm-hmm. if you can early on, but be willing to adapt. You're going to be able to do something every turn that you play. Every time it gets to you, you're going to be able to do something, and the rounds go by quickly. There's not a lot to choose from when you're doing, which I really like about this, is every turn you can do something. I don't like games where it's like, well, it's my turn and I can't do anything. Go ahead. Like, I don't play games so that I can watch my friends play games.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I like to play them. So yeah. I am not a fan of a game that has any chance for it to get to me and I have to just say, nope, I can't, which I love on this game. Yeah. Every time it's your turn, you're going to be able to do something.
Yeah.
As are everybody else at the table, and you can kind of make some of those decisions ahead of time, because there's only so many things you can do.
Yeah.
So the game goes fairly quickly by doing that little bit of strategy to it, luck of the draw. I think a really good mix on it
too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really like that
for sure.
Yep.
And as I kind of alluded earlier, once you hit 17, like 17 of the glass pieces in your
or more,
yeah, in your display, then that kind of triggers end game. So you finish that round, and then you play one more on top of that.
Yeah,
and then
I
start the scoring.
I like that end game too. It's not like all of a sudden, oh, I'm
you're
done.
Shit out of luck,
right? Or if we played with three of us, there's some games where it's once somebody finishes, you finish out that round. So in our case, we were playing with three people. If the third person finishes, I might not get another turn, and I didn't know that we were there because we don't know what the other person is going to do. So I might be going, well, I'm going to do this because I think I got one more round left, and then
you yeah, don't get I it. Like the fact that where you get this, to do that.
No matter what, you're going to get at least one more turn and potentially two more turns.
Yeah,
which I like that because it mm-hmm. allows you to, you know, like it should be fun. Games should be fun. You shouldn't have to like super pay attention to every game. Some of them, like, it's cool that you do, but it is nice with a game like this where it is part luck of the draw, part minimal strategy mm-hmm. to just like get that little bit of warning, like, hey guys, we're at the end.
Yeah.
You maybe want to think about it for mm-hmm. this round. Yeah, you know. And I think half of that, I think, because we played what, three games of it, I think, yeah, really so. quickly, and I think actually two out of those three I had to do the draw function for my last turn anyway, so mm-hmm. so I technically didn't get to do anything, but it was still like, oh hey, you it's the end of the game, finish your piece, then you got one more round, I'm drawing, but at least I still was doing something.
So. Yeah. So one thing I think that you, I can't remember if you missed when you were talking about placing your glass on the river to take other glass pieces. Did you talk about the, you could also take two identical nope. pieces?
There's that part I didn't talk about. Okay. And I also, there's one other thing that I wanted to add. So okay. you talk about that for sure.
Sure. So another thing you do when you want to grab something from the river on those acrylic tiles or just the regular tiles in the base game, is you can take, if you have two of the exact same shaped glass pieces, and you could actually go on any river tile instead and then yep. take from something that's adjacent there. So it sucks because you're getting rid of two glass pieces instead of one, but it gives you the choice to grab other glass pieces and other river tiles.
The other thing is that, you know, I talked about us starting with three pieces of glass in our pan when we first pan or hand. When we first started, eventually you'll run out because obviously you can't finish the game in three hands. There is the option to be able to grab more glass from the, what do they the call bag. It? Well, no, they call that, what is that section there?
From the lake.
From the lake, yes. Yeah. And so there are five pieces of glass that are in the lake. They would be different colors, different shapes. They're just drawn randomly from the bag. And you can use one of your turns to kind of essentially grab whatever you want in there up to four. Well, you have to grab four. Grab four pieces, put them in your pan. I would not suggest exceeding five because otherwise they go into your overflow. But those will help you to be able to continue to take things from the river.
And overflow is a bad thing because yep. you are subtracting
you points lose at negative the end three. Of the game.
So you don't want to go to your overflow. Playing that, I think, could be a little bit more strategy, too, to try and go early to get there so that when you do get to the end of the game, you are...
It didn't work for this guy.
Yeah, I think there's some playtime. I think there's some fun strategy depending on what comes up at your turn there. It's something I don't mm-hmm. know that any of us really fully paid attention to, like, the number of glass pieces that we had versus what was in that little reservoir lake to, you know, kind of play the numbers on that. I bet somebody that's a mathematician would do probably good by trying to figure out some yeah. of that. I think you could probably equation this a little bit
yeah.
and kind of game the system a
that's
little bit.
That's very mathy. Way. That's very mathy. Right.
So this is a game that even though it's really simple and it's really basic, I think if you really wanted to put some smart thought into it, mm-hmm. you probably could kind of game it a little bit. But even so, it's still luck of the draw where you might have it planned out and you might be working to get yourself set up for something at endgame. And then somebody might just draw the stuff that you wanted and it might not come back up. So,
yeah.
I love games like that where you could have a very novice, somebody such as myself, play with somebody that is very good at counting and knows all the game stuff. And everybody's got a fair shot. Unless you play with Tracy, and Tracy just beats us every time at this game, I believe. So, yep. She is a savant at picking glass out of water.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, are you part otter?
Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe.
I appreciate that about you.
I never told you that.
I could tell. It was because of how well you picked
glass.
Can
we still be friends?
I'm friends with all shapes and sizes.
Okay.
I don't care. Okay. I don't discriminate.
So, River Valley Glassworks.
Great game. Good job.
Have you played it? Do you want to play it now that we talked about it?
I do, yeah.
You do? I kind of want to play the game right now.
Yeah, I like it.
We played it online on Board Game Arena last night.
Yep, so it's on Board Game
Arena. How's the online version?
Good.
It's good. Very similar, same thing.
Oh, yeah. Does all the work for you, so that makes it even better.
It goes really fast.
Yeah.
Just click it and go.
Yeah, like,
they do all the calculations.
Yeah, if you think playing it in real life goes fast on there, it's just like, holy smokes.
No, this is a fun game. I could see this being one that's like, in the camper for a family, because I think young kids could play this very easily. Like
yes.
You might have to give a little bit of help and correct a few things, but I think young kids could play and have the potential to win, not even like where you'd have to let them. Like, I think I could see this very easily.
I never let kids win, so.
Yeah, no, never. Absolutely not. I'm opposed to that. No, I think this is a fun game.
Also, they have an expansion. It's not just an expansion. I think it's like...
It's got like five modules.
Several module expansions that we just bought and we just got in the mail this week.
What do they add to it?
Let's see. I got the cards right here.
Ooh, so it's just like you're trying to do different things?
Yeah, so like one of them has... each player has a special order for 3 glass pieces of specific colors. And you get points depending upon how many of those you have. There's another one where you have assistants that give you things for once per game. They have equipment that helps you do certain end game stuff. Like one of them says gain 5 victory points for each of your columns containing at least 2 matching shapes.
Oh, that's cool.
They have the flooded market that's got each player has an undesirable color that flooded the local markets, and if you have the shortest color of them, you get victory points.
Oh, that's cool. I like it. Takes it from you can make this game as simple as you want by playing the base rules, or do that and make it a little more complicated. I like that, where it changes the game completely. So it's the same game, but different.
Yeah, you can add like one or multiple of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they killed it with this game.
It was funny because we got it. We ordered the base game again to give as a gift, but we ordered the expansion too, and it comes in this little box, and we're like, and he opened it today and he's like, oh no, this is good.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I like that. That completely changes the game. I love that without adding a whole bunch of extra whatever.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's really cool. Well done.
I think we got the expansion for like, oh, maybe it was 12.
Yeah, you said 12.
$12 on AllPlay's site.
Yeah.
And it came so fast.
Yeah, and it gives it good replayability. I think that with the base game is fun, but I think after a while it could get kind of repetitive, where I think that these modules kind of mixes it up a little bit, and I kind of like that, because then it doesn't just stay the same thing. You can kind of mix things in and make it a little different each time.
That's cool. Yeah. I could see this being one of those where, yes, like you were saying, you could have it on the shelf and family game night or friends game night like we do every week and play it regularly and it changes up. I could also see this being like one of those games like Uno or Yahtzee or something that every family just has in their camper or on their cabin. And when they go on vacation, this is like you make your s'mores over the fire. You go fishing or kayaking or canoeing during the day, and go on your hike, go to a museum, come back to the camper or cabin and play a game. And this could be one of those games.
Because I know that sometimes my side of the family, like, they'll be like, well, I don't really like some of the games that you guys have because it's just so, they're so complicated.
Right.
I really can't concentrate on it. I feel like this one is very easy to teach.
Yeah, I've got some family members that, let's just say, they're simple folk. Mm-hmm. And I think they could very easily play this game and not want to get angry and throw it across the room as I saw it done in my childhood. So.
Well, and also I think going back to the picking it up from a board game play group or something like that, if you need a filler game, this would be one I feel like we could set up really quick and fill in that time.
Yeah.
30-minute fill time, like we get done with another game at 9:30 or whatever we're playing, I think we could fill it. We could put it up and play it
easily. Yeah,
30 minutes.
If everybody in the group that has already played this, you could easily set it up. You could do this game in 10 or 15 minutes if you really wanted to. If you just buckled down and said, "All right, everybody, let's go. My turn, your turn, your turn."
Yeah,
turn,
give yourself
your
like
go that fast.
A little bit of time to set it up, but
yeah. Very good game. I really liked it. I applaud these game makers.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you're looking for it, make sure to go to AllPlay's website or check out your local board gaming group. And yeah, that's it for us for this episode. We'll see you next time. And until next time, I'm Kurt.
I'm Tracy.
I'm Jason.
And this was the MFG Cast. Thanks for listening, everybody.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.